Magical.
Good stuff.
How's it going, alright?
Yeah, mate, all good my end.
Wonderful.
I've been out all day, so...
Have you? What have you been doing? Rowing? Something posh?
Rowing?
Yeah.
Anything posh, mate. Yeah. To be honest, mate, shopping at Tesco is posh for you, lad.
What's Tesco?
Yeah, exactly, mate.
Smooth you do operator. Look
pretty drenched in oil, to be fair, at this point. I don't know what you've been doing, but...
I have been oiling up. I live right near a school, so...
Ah, standard.
If I'm slippery enough, they won't catch me.
You know, Charles Bronson did that once. Do you know who Charles Bronson is?
Yeah, I remember reading about it. Oiled himself up in a prison, wasn't it?
Yeah, he kidnapped a guard and then he said he was going to let them in, but before he did it, he covered himself in, I think it was either butter or baby oil, and got, like, stark bollock naked and then put four officers in hospital and injured six other ones before they got him down. I'm like,
that's savage, isn't it?
Fuck. That's,
what a dude.
That's intense. It's true, though. I mean, if you just oil to fuck, you can't... That's why all the wrestlers are, like, you know, proper baby oiled up and shit. Dwayne Johnson just has his own personal oiler, comes around with it.
Honestly, doesn't surprise me. Dwayne the Oil Johnson.
That's right, yeah. Big DJ. He's the only person that makes the name Dwayne seem cool.
Legit. If anyone came up to me and said, "Hi, my name's Dwayne," I'd just laugh at him and put him in the bin.
Is it? Fuck. Yeah, put him straight in the bin with your lad.
See you in a bit.
Yeah, off you pop.
I tell you what, why don't you go and have a little chat with your parents and ask them why they fucking named you that? Yeah. They clearly didn't.
Of all the names
you.
On the planet, they picked that one. They could have picked anything. Oliver,
see, that,
Michael,
that
any
Tarquin. I mean,
yeah, any normal name, and they stumbled on Cholmondeley or something. Like, they really thought that's the one. He looks how insulting is that though? And when you're a babe, it's like when someone names you Kenneth. You know, like they looked at you as a baby and thought, yes. That's a Kenneth. He's going to grow up to be a Ken. Like, that's an insult.
He looks like a 42-year-old man as a baby.
Yeah, he looks like a Keith. Like, what the fuck?
I've literally just birthed him, and he's already pottering. He's definitely a Kenneth.
It's like Lee. I mean, who looks at their baby and goes, "That's the most boring child I've ever seen. I'm going to call him the most bog standard name I possibly can."
Like Ben.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, well, that's true. It's good because my name's Benjamin, not Ben. So.
Yeah, I know that you go by Benjamin as well, which is, says a lot about your class, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it says a lot about you that you still don't use that name.
Of course I don't.
A lot about your class.
It's funnier to watch you squirm when I address you as
fucking
Ben.
Benjamin!
Yeah.
Anyway, how's work, mate?
Oh, don't you start me on that fucking shambles. Incredible scenes. I've seen a lot of cats. I've actually befriended quite a few of the cats now. So they followed me around like the fucking Pied Piper. Brilliant. Honestly, there's one fluffy ginger cat, and it just follows me up and down the street. Can't get enough of it. I don't know where it lives. It doesn't know where it lives anymore. It just wants to get in a van and fuck off with me.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Sees a fellow ginger, says, "Right, I'm in the van. Let's go."
Right, do you know what? do you know what? There was someone the other day on my round. Someone else was doing the big parcels, right?
Yeah.
And when I saw them the day after, they said, "Oh, one of your customers was asking about you." I said, "Oh, that's nice." He said, "Yeah." When they answered the door, they said, "Oh, where's the ginger postman?" Imagine the audacity. I said, "Tell me whose house it is. They're never getting fucking letters again."
Yeah, never seeing a penny of their post again.
You tell me what address they've got, and every time I've got anything for them, I'll just scrunch it up and push it through the door, no problem. Unbelievable.
Better yet, you'll open the door, get them to come to the door and rip it up in front of them and then give it to them.
Yeah, and they go, "All right, Ginge." Imagine that. The audacity of it. I'm not even fucking ginger. I wouldn't mind if I was. Unbelievable.
Just the beard, isn't it? People see the beard.
Yeah, but that's just
ginger terrorist.
In the sunlight, it is like it's got a tinge. Oh, I'll give you that. It's a bit rusty.
It's copper bordering on ginger, mate.
It's fucking brown.
Hate like the roots, it. Mate.
This is how you feel when I call you Ben. I understand now.
Yeah, it is, mate, yeah. I don't know what the weather's been like with you on a different note, because obviously being a postman, you're exposed to the elements, but here it's been fucking biblical. I mean, I was driving back... Yeah, I was driving back... driving a van yesterday to move some stuff from my grandparents. Big old lot, probably... A
you're
fair size bigger than my one. It's a long base boxer. Do you know what those are? Like,
just, yeah,
like a sprinter. Wheel. Yeah, big thing. Anyway, it's a bit decrepit, and there was one part of the road on this country road where it's a bit like one of those like Bolivian death roads. You know where the drop off is insane.
Yeah, right. You look out the window and you think, I'm just gonna swerve to the right a little bit.
It's fucked, mate. Yeah, I'm gonna go into that wall, please.
Yeah.
To the part where there is a part of the road that hasn't been repaired that like has like gone down. Like it's a proper drop, like, I don't know, 20 meters or something on one side.
Yeah,
no, like man. Proper 50 foot. Like you're still going to be in trouble anyway.
I seem to be in trouble.
And
there was a fucking hill. Mountain.
Yeah, found a fucking ravine like some Indiana Jones shit. Yeah. And on the other side is a big hill. So all of the water that was falling, that had been falling all day, had like it like pooled on the ground and then was going down the other side. But because there was a slight divot, it was allowing the water to rise. So it was honestly about 2 foot of water, 3 foot of water on the road.
Fantastic.
No joke. And getting through that, and I could feel the engine dying. I was like revving it to shit in first, just praying that it wasn't going to give out. Because I know if you're there, you're eventually going to get swept away. Because there's so many rocks being put down from the road. I was losing traction on the road. Mm-hmm. I was going over all these rocks. Anyway, that was hair-raising, mate. Driving back through that, I thought, I do not want to get stuck here because I know it's going to be a long time before I get rescued and I'm also going to have to get out and get very wet.
Very nice.
That was fun. That was yesterday. It's nice today.
So, I've got a story about the same sort of thing. We went on holiday a couple of years ago to... Where did we go on holiday? Hey,
fucking Peru or something, innit?
You do. Zanti.
Zimbabwe. Thank
you. So, a couple of years ago, we went on a holiday to Zanti. And you know, it's like an island, and you've got half the island's like a party island, of course. And then the other half is just really lovely. And it's like all olive fields and things, you know, olive trees everywhere and whatever. It's just really pretty and picturesque, right? So we rented a car because it was cheaper than getting transport everywhere. We rented a car for the week and we were just driving around enjoying ourselves. Yeah. So this one night we decided we'd go out for, I think we were going to, it was like a little, what it is a fucking big mountain, right? The other side of the mountain, there's like a turtle beach, basically. I don't know what it's actually called.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's referred to as turtle beach. And it's where they all go to hatch, you know, like they lay their eggs and then and then they're hatching, right? So it was around this time of year that they were hatching, so of course you're not allowed to go there. So we said, we'll have a little drive over there, sort of after dark. We won't go on the beach and fuck with it or anything. We just want to go and see if we can see any little turtles in that way, little tortoise, whatever they're called. So we've driven most of the way there, and then obviously we've come up to this mountain and not realised how small of a track it is. To the point, like, the car just about fit on the track. Do you know what I mean? You know when you're driving and you can see over the edge, like you were saying, but, like, the wheel feels like, if you turn at all, gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Game set.
Yeah, fucked it, mate. Yeah.
And you drive, because there's nowhere to turn, like, it's literally a mountain. Like, there's nowhere to turn around, so you've got to go around it and then come back again. So, driving around it was fine. Well, it wasn't fine. It was fucking shit your pants sort of thing. It was literally
hair-raising. Yeah,
and then coming back was worse because obviously you think, oh, I've done this once already. I can go a little bit faster, not a problem. It's never
big
a
mistake.
Good idea. Yeah, yeah. Take your fucking time. And then the point of it was, I hated everything about that drive. We came up with a saying: "No mountains after midnight," and that's what holiday is now called. Do you know what I mean? That's what we refer to it as.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Clearly, you survived that experience and didn't actually plummet to your death.
Well, you'd hope so, and I'm not just a ghost now, because that would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you just pan the camera down, you ain't got any legs.
I haven't got, yeah.
Yeah,
lost.
That's a good story.
No problem.
Yeah. All right. Separate incident involving a bulldog, but still, you know. I love shit like that. I remember I once saw this one stand-up comedian at a comedy club. There is a comedy club in Exeter. It's not actually in Exeter, it's just outside. But I went, wasn't that long ago, actually, about eight months ago. Just wanted to see what it was like. And there was a guy on stage, I don't know him, I think he was, I cannot remember his name. Anyway, he did this story, he was double amputee, he had no, he had one leg gone.
He was legless.
No, he had one leg and one arm gone. So he was on one side of his body.
Did they call him Arthur? Which,
fuck. Yeah, mate. Yeah, Arthur Man. Yeah.
Lopside.
Lopside would be actually... That would be a class nickname, wouldn't it be?
What's the fucking mathematics thing that's just 2 points?
What, a median?
Like a compass, isn't it? Is that what it's called, a compass?
Compass, yeah, compass.
The thing with 2 points.
Yeah.
It's a joke's fucking ruined, man, yeah. Call him compass.
Yeah, anyway. He gave this whole story about, he's talking for about 5 minutes, building up to this punchline. And it was him describing the plot of Saving Private Ryan.
Mm.
But no one recognised that. I was like, this sounds vaguely familiar. No one recognised it. Anyway, he was describing the plot of Private Ryan. So he basically built to this punchline, and he said, that was the plot of Saving Private Ryan, but you all thought that's how I lost my legs. I really lost them in a car accident.
Brilliant.
It's just genius. Exactly what I do, fuck with people. Like, he was building up to this thing about being a war hero or something. He's like, no,
yeah.
He binned it off into a hedge, he said.
Classic.
Amazing. I can't remember his name, but I remember that because that was hilarious. Because it was like, yeah, the first thing you do when you see someone like that, especially when they get up on stage, you're like, well, how'd that happen then? Where'd you lose them?
It's the first thing you want to know, isn't it? I hope he's got some material on that missing fucking leg.
Brilliant.
Old Hoppy.
Old Hops.
Yeah.
We call him Thumper. I haven't been to many comedy clubs for the simple reason that where I grew up, where we both grew up was funny enough without the comedy clubs, but just, I mean, is there one?
Was with us involved?
I know, there's so much to take the piss out of. I don't think that there was one that I knew of, anyway, in Bournemouth or something.
I think there is. I'm going to have to Google it. I mean, I've never been to one, I don't know.
Well, I see, I've been to a few, but the ones I've been up to are up north in big cities like Leeds and Manchester.
Yeah. There's Jagger's Comedy Club.
Oh, fucking hell, that doesn't sound good.
And that's about... Oh, Coastal Comedy Club. I've heard of that one, but... That's it. Just two. But even
brilliant.
I imagine they're the kind of gaffs that are only open on a Thursday night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd probably double up as a bingo hall as well.
Yeah, literally. Literally that.
100%.
It's funny though, isn't it? You see, especially up north, you see a lot of, boiler rooms or comedy clubs and things like that, comedy store, whatever else.
Yeah.
They're all sort of up north, aren't they?
But it's like men's clubs. You don't see them down south, but there are lots of men's clubs up north.
Yeah, I bet there is.
And all sorts of things. Yeah, there is that kind of stuff. I don't know what it is, but there's a higher density of population.
It's so depressing up there that people have got to have stuff to escape to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's for sure true. I mean, the weather's worse as well, so it genuinely is noticeably worse.
Somewhere in there.
I do like comedy clubs because... I like jazz bars.
Again, loves the idea of jazz bars. I don't think I'd be as keen. I'd enjoy it, but I don't like sitting still for too long or in dark rooms.
Fair enough, mate. I get it. I mean, they are worth it if you go to one with some mates. You can go to some jazz bars and the express purpose is to listen to the jazz and drink and not really converse. But I said, I've been to one like that, and that was fun, but it was a bit like, I love jazz, but the guy that was on stage was playing the same type of Oscar Peterson jazz. I don't know if you know who that is, but like it's kind of really highly intricate piano playing, which is quite intense to listen to. My favorite kind of jazz is like swing or band jazz, you know, like the trumpet and the Louis Armstrong. So, and I went to one where they had that on and it was live for most of the evening, but they had like sets. So they'd have like a half an hour, they'd be playing fairly loud, and then fucking a half an hour where it was kind of quiet background music and you could have a chat. And I was with a few people, like my brother and a couple other people, and we were having a chat, and then, you know, and they had like a pool table there and that kind of stuff. So cool. You could get up and do so. So that was cool. I would recommend that. That was in Manchester. Like, if you could find one that's like that, where they've got like darts and pool and that. Because it's bound to be loads in London, isn't there? Or around-ish where you live, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was fun. At the comedy club, you would definitely enjoy, because even if the person that gets on stage is shit, that you can still have a good time, because they're like, you take the piss out of it.
Mm.
You know? It's always good fun when you hear someone like heckling and then they get destroyed, or they just destroy the person on stage. Like, either way, it's going to be funny. If you've got our kind of humor where you just laugh at stupid shit that people do, then that is good. But you don't want to go to a comedy. I've been to three, and one of them, I think most people were pissed by the time it started, because the comedy started at 10.
Oh, fuck.
That's a bit late. That's late. Yeah, so go to one where it's an evening do and people aren't hammered by the time they get up on stage, because then you just get people like shouting and
I think it ruins it, doesn't it?
But yeah, you would definitely enjoy that. I recommend it. I always wanted to go, since I heard about it, I wanted to go to Joe Rogan's one in Austin, Texas. You heard about that?
Oh, no idea. I barely know anything about a geezer, to be fair, but...
Well, you are. Yeah, there's a lot of Rogan lore, but one of the things is he recently, I think about a year ago, built a comedy club in Austin, Texas, where he invites he does stuff there, but he also gets invites his friends and other people to come and perform. So I always wanted to go to that.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Some bucket list job, isn't it?
But then again, Austin, Texas would be low down on my list of places to go in America, just because of it's just such an artificial city. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of it, but like...
No, I haven't.
It's grim.
I always think of Texas just to be a southern and racist, which, to be honest with you, you'd fit right in with, wouldn't you?
I probably would, mate, to be honest.
Yeah. Love a bit of
that. Texas isn't... I mean, it is the South, but it's a different kind of South. Texas is a place unto itself, like the South, because it's Southwest, really. Like it's or some of it is directly South, and it's bordering with Mexico. So there's so many Mexicans living in Texas. Well, maybe that's the case. I wouldn't like the comment, but I would say that
I'll take that.
That like the Texans I've met, and I've met a few. They've been quite switched on, because Texas is a big, like, and there's a lot of metropolises in Texas. Whereas maybe somewhere else, like Arkansas or Alabama, you might be better placed to find a better rate of casual racism.
Bear with me while I just check our audience in America.
Probably nil.
We've got more American listeners than anywhere else, but we've got none in Alabama. So fuck those fucking eight fingered freaks.
Definitely not going to have any there. Yeah,
fucking idiots. Do you know we've got quite a high percentage in Virginia and Ohio.
There's fuck all else to do in Ohio, is there? You may as well listen to a couple of lying pricks. Yeah. Why it's true, though. Anyone from Ohio would tell you the only thing to do in Ohio is leave. Just go somewhere else.
It's not good,
is it? To be fair. No, I'm taking the piss. To be honest, I mean, Virginia... I always wanted to visit Virginia because it's... I work places like Gettysburg and Mechanicsville are. And it's...
Mechanics.
Richmond. Like the site.
What can they do there?
I don't know, mate. It's a good joke. Yeah, probably. It's Bob the Builder's hometown, you know.
Loads of working cars. Brilliant.
Yeah. No, that's where all the Civil War sites are, so.
I was very cheery. Cheers for bringing a fucking tone down.
You know, the first thing about history, do you?
No. It's all in the past, mate.
Were you about to agree, right? To be fair, I am.
I was going to start an argument about it, but then I remembered how thick I am, and I thought, it's not worth it, is it?
No, not worth it, is it, mate?
No. Never win an argument with a toff.
I'll just never let you, mate.
Point proven.
Next.
Sorry, I'm just replying to my mum.
That's all right, mate. I'm trying to fill the gap. Oh, remind me later. I need to reply to your mum.
Is it? Yeah. I need to reply to yours,
sending me nudes, mate.
Yeah.
I haven't got round to opening this last batch.
Well, you tell me how many she sent, and I'll send you two for every one she sent you.
I mean, mission accepted. Can't wait.
Don't, mate, honestly, don't. I've already got
some of
your dad,
so I'd have a family trio, mate.
I will send some heinous pictures of my gooch to you, bro, honestly.
It's nothing. I have
no idea. I don't think you have, bro. You've not even seen this level of chafage before. I'll tell you that.
That is tasteful. I'll tell you that. You should put that on an art.
I will. Yeah.
Flared.
Flared. Aggravated assault.
Yeah,
it's the name of the artwork. Yeah. You can call art. You can call it like artwork. Any old shit nowadays. I mean,
you could anything. Just spit on a wall, mate, and just.
There was that. There was this Korean art student in Seoul who went to an art exhibition, and the exhibition was a banana taped to a wall. It's quite a famous.
Exhibition. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And it was valued at $50,000 for some ungodly reason. Anyway, he just ate it. And then someone asked him why he did it. Oh yeah, someone asked him why he did it, and he said, "Well, I was hungry, of course. Why else do you eat a banana?"
Yeah. Literally.
And I thought that is exactly the sort of attitude you should have to that level of bullshittery. Like, if you're going to bullshit me and tell me that a banana taped to a wall is art, I am allowed to bullshit you and shit on it and say it's not. I'm eating it. It's food. It's not art. Like,
I tell you what, don't get me wrong. And I'll shit it back out and sellotape that to the wall. How'd you feel then?
Yeah.
And I'll call it consumed.
Same thing, innit?
No problem.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever the name of the art is, and then brackets, post-consumption.
Moving on.
So, have you got a series that you've been watching?
Oh, chef, I tell you what. There's a big one coming next week, but for now, please watch the telly for another week! I've just got to Google the programme that I've supposedly watched because, you know.
Is it? Yeah, that's good.
I've got a memory like a fucking broken teapot. The series I've been watching this week is called Safe. It's a UK series. So what happens is they're in a gated community, right?
Right,
and there's a lot of twists and turns and, like, you know, plot twists and things. It's basically about this dude turns up murdered. And everyone's in the gated community, so someone in the community definitely did it. And then, you know, you keep thinking, oh, it must be them, it must be that. Then something else happens. And at the end of it, you don't know whether you're coming or going. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of faces in it, but I don't know how old it is. Let me just have a look. I think it was like 2018. Yeah, 2018. It's supposedly a mini-series. It's 8 episodes.
All right, yeah.
There's the bloke that plays Barry from Four Lions, you know, the one we were talking about the other week.
Oh, yeah.
He's in it. He's honestly, he's such a good actor, but he's only ever in, like, odd series, do you know what I mean? There's never anything like huge reason. What I've written here is basically the whole way through, you're guessing, and I love it. And I put that in capitals, so must have enjoyed it.
It's a Netflix one, isn't it?
It's a Netflix own series. Yeah, it was genuinely really good. So I'd give that a 8 out of 10. Some of the programs that I've rated recently, I've given them far too high scores. I need to be a little more conservative with it.
Yeah, you do really.
Yeah. Also, I've not really rated any really really bad ones, but that's because if it's that bad, I normally just move on.
I don't finish it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame, really.
That's fair. I know the show you're talking about now, because I remember reading that it was written by Harlan Coben, who is obviously quite a famous crime writer here in Britain.
Is he?
Yeah, he's written a lot of stuff. He is quite famous. He writes a bit like... Have you ever watched Vera?
Yeah.
Yeah, he writes stories that are a bit like that.
Oh,
they're good. I've read a few. What was I going to say? I watched a show that was like that, that was meant to be really good, but I didn't actually rate. I started Marco Polo.
Didn't even know that was a thing.
I think it was a Netflix original or something. I think so. It was made. It was one of Netflix's first flagship shows back in 2014, I think.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, 2014. Oh, Benny Wong's in it.
Yeah.
Really
cool. I mean, quite a few famous Asian people are in it, but it wasn't very good. Wasn't it like it? Some of the acting was really good. Some of it was quite subpar, and it jarred. But the sets, you can tell that Netflix's budget or whoever's budget it wasn't great at the time.
Yeah,
like some of the sets.
It's a Netflix original. Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah. Like right, I think it's one of their first. And you tell that their budget was definitely, you know, minuscule back in the day. It's nearly 10 years ago. And so it doesn't convince me. Which is a shame because I always heard it was amazing, but maybe it was amazing at the time. It just didn't really.
I'm going to have to watch it. I mean, it looks like something that I'd really enjoy.
I think to be fair, you know, I watched the first two episodes and I thought some of this acting is great. Like Tommy Wu and those people, they're brilliant, but.
Yeah.
It was actually more the European actors who they got in to play the kind of, you know, people like Marco Polo weren't.
Yeah.
It just wasn't amazing. So I don't know why. The guy that plays Kublai Khan, he's brilliant. I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, it's Benny Wong.
Okay.
He was in with Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange.
Yes, that's him.
Yeah, he's a very good actor. Do you know, Olivia had a video conference with him over lockdown. That's exciting, isn't it? Very interesting.
Yeah. One of that what she calls it?
I sat in on.
Yeah,
that's what she calls it. It was a live stream with her and him, and she was only wearing lingerie. Very odd.
Yeah,
good tipper though, so can't complain.
Good tipper. Fair enough. I've been watching. What did I watch? I watched The Night Agent recently with Netflix.
Night Agent. I've heard of it.
Yeah, that's about like a political. It's a political conspiracy thriller, made by Netflix, which came out recently. It's got a few actors you'd know, like the guy that plays Lucifer's brother. He's a black guy. It's
Gabe, not Gabriel. What's his name?
Azazel.
Yeah, D.B. Woodside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's him. He's in a few things. He's in it. He is good. He's not in it that much.
That's cool.
Anyway, most of the other actors are unknown, and nearly all of them are incapable of like much depth to their acting. Like they all have the same expression on their faces the entire way through. Particularly the girl who plays the main, one of the two main characters. She honestly, if you see my face, my face for a second.
Yep.
She looks like this the whole way, like her eyes are wide and just this kind of like slightly crazed look about her the entire, even when she's like, she laughs and then her face just goes straight back to that. So like, but the story was good. I enjoyed the story. The acting was 5 out of 10. The story was 7 out of 10. So it balanced out about 6 out of 10. It was worth watching because it was easy watching. And I enjoy political thrillers. That was a Netflix original. I'm sure they'll do a second series. Yeah, Brent just came out. I'm pretty sure they'll do a second series.
Yeah, I'll have a watch of that. I'll try and watch both. And then do some reviewage, if you like.
We can bond over that. Oh, fuck me. That's so interlacing. that's so Y2K, like,
brilliant
2000 shit.
Yeah. Have you been reading anything this week?
I have, mate. I've
He's read a book.
He's been reading.
Lovely. That's really nice.
There we go. Hold on. Thanks, mate. Yeah. Yeah. I'm practicing that. So it's called The Light Ages.
That's nice.
There's another, you know, Penguin, of course, by Seb Falk.
Oh, he loves it to me.
Children's
books.
Pretty much, yeah. Penguin history. The subtitle is A Medieval Journey of Discovery. Basically, I mean, I've talked about this before, but one of my interests is medieval science and medieval history, but more the thought of the medieval period and how most people use the term the Dark Ages to describe the period in Europe between about 500 AD and 1500 AD. And they don't really give a lot of credit to what happened in that period. So this is one of, you know, four or five books that I've read that is aimed at unpicking that misnomer. And basically, so it's a play on, you know, so the Dark Ages, he's actually calling it the Light Ages. And what he's really interested in is medieval science and, in the true sense of the word, not kind of experimentation, but all of the things that happened which promoted and provoked scientific thought to get to where it is. Especially, he takes special interest in instruments of science, things like astrolabes and telescopes and these kinds of creations and inventions that allowed humanity to further the progress down the line, and sort of saying, well, lots of things happened in, say, the 18th, 19th, 20th centuries, but they are actually less incredible than, say, you know, a 12th century glassmaker creating a telescope, that kind of thing. Like the workmanship that went into creating these things is incredible.
Is it because there was no basis for it, whereas a lot of the stuff nowadays comes from the stuff that there was in the first place? Do you know what I mean? Like you've already got the general idea of it, whereas back then there was no idea of anything, and it just people just stumbled upon things, went, "That's fucking brilliant, make a couple of quid off of that."
Yeah, mate, that's exactly how he says it. You know, you must have read the book.
I've basically summarised it for you. Yeah,
yeah, mate, it's beautiful that we can make a couple of quid out of this. Yeah,
yeah.
Said
every scientist ever.
Well, maybe now, yeah. Anyway, really good. Not that long. 350 pages. Would highly recommend it to anyone who's interested in science as well as history, but science in particular. If you're physicists or you like science at school, if you want to know more about why that word itself is not a particularly good indication of how those things were treated once upon a time, then read it. The Light Ages by Seb Falk. Available at all good Waterstones, probably Amazon, Penguin, Barnes and Noble in America.
Barnes and Noble, imagine. You can get it on Audible as an audiobook. So
for
all you lazy listeners like me, smashed it.
Yeah, it's very good. He starts off with a sort of interesting depiction of this guy discovering a manuscript that had been knocking about in a Cambridge library for a few centuries and hadn't had anything done with it, and he got it out and then he sort of unbound it and found evidence of various things happening long before we thought they did. Well worth a read. You know me, love a bit of history. That's my jam. So
that's your thing. Yeah.
So, but this is quite a light read in comparison to some of the things I read.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that I imagine you read is quite heavy, to be fair.
Yeah, it's Penguin History, the series that they've done in recent years, is really good. I have to say, that's probably, if I'm looking for a bit of light non-fiction, I go to Penguin History. Like they've published some fantastic, I mean, they've always published great stuff, but their recent series of books has been fantastic. Do you remember when, I don't know if how much you cared about KSI and all that, you're probably a bit old for it, but I mean, unboxing videos on YouTube used to be wild. Like in the early 2010s, 2012, 2013, you get unboxing videos going on from stuff like fans have sent in. Like some of the, honestly, some foul stuff that, like, if you sent it in now, they'd never open it on camera, and they'd also, like, they'd report you for it, but like someone, I remember this one episode where it was either KSI or brother was opening, like opened 6 packages and 3 of them were shit. Were like human feces.
That's pretty bad. To be fair.
Like it's like why, what why? But he did like 6 packages.
3 different people decided that was a good idea as well. 3 separate humans.
I know.
Just shit in a box and send it to someone and watch them open it on fucking YouTube.
Unbelievable, mate. And that video's got yeah, those were wild back in the day. Someone was in a used tampon once as well. I remember what that one. That was fucking gross.
I bet that fucking hummed.
it was all in boxes or like something, but it's like, bruh, not okay.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
Anyway, that's all right, mate. Leave you with that.
Yeah, all right. Ciao for now.
Nice one, boss. Bye-bye.
Bye.